This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry offers a warm welcome to each of you. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs and printed copies of today's sermon will follow the broadcast. We hope you enjoy today's service and will continue worshiping with us every Sunday on this station.
Someone has said, "The gospel is so simple that a child can understand, and yet so profound that the greatest mind cannot penetrate its truth." We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We invite you to stay tuned. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for that simple message of salvation that has come to us through faith in Jesus Christ. And yet, O God, we understand it is so deep in thought that we need all the help we can get in learning its true meaning in our lives. So come to us this day, we pray. Send your Holy Spirit and open your word that we may understand better. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
In Christ there is no east or west, in him no south or north, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth. In him shall
in Christ. To communicate or explain what the gospel is very challenging. Here is the gospel. It says God came into this world in the person of Jesus Christ. He lived here for 33 years. The last 3 years he conducted his ministry, in which he taught, he suffered, he died at the cross, he was raised again, and all of this to pay the price for the sins of humankind. So that no matter where and when people lived, if they would repent of their sins and trust him as their Savior and Lord, they would belong to God through faith in Jesus Christ, and they would be his both for now and for all eternity. Now that's pretty difficult to explain such a doctrine to the world where we live. Our Lord Jesus Christ did it, and he did it by using parables. In Matthew 13, we have several of these parables of Jesus, and I would like to read a part of one right now. It's found in Matthew 13, beginning with verse 47. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shores. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. Now, as I interpret this text, this is a part of the parable. But it goes on, because the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Please tell us what this is all about." And Jesus said, "I will. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And then he turned and said, "Have you understood all these things?" And they replied, "Yes, we have." That was kind of a personal question that he asked, for now he goes right to each and every one. "Do you understand that those fish represent people? Do you understand that it's at the end of the world and all of these people have been in the church, members of the body of Christ in some fashion or another?" "Yes, well, this is the visible church. And now at the end, within that visible church, there are those who are the true believers in Christ, who have confessed him as Savior and have invited him into their hearts. These people will be brought into the kingdom, and like the fish that those who caught them didn't want to keep, they are thrown away." It's a rather cruel picture in a way. Only a certain number will be kept. You know, it's like on a vacation. I remember when our children were small, we had a daughter who loved to fish, and a son who cared little about fishing, but enjoyed playing golf. So I would go out with both of them with the understanding that we would do each other's primary sport. And the boy could catch fish one right after another, and the girl just didn't seem to have much luck. And then her brother said, "Come and sit up here where I am. They're biting up here." And eventually she got to a place in the boat where she began to get sensitive to the nibble, and she pulled one fish in after another. Then her brother simply took his time to take the fish off the hook and throw it in the bowl that we had brought along in the bucket. And she was having the time of her life. We didn't stop then to try to sort them out, which ones we were going to keep and which ones we would throw away. But finally, when we got home, then we said, "This one we keep, this one we don't keep. This one will be good to eat, this one will not be good to eat." That's the picture that Jesus is giving of the commercial fishermen of his day. Now, of them, he said they were fishing with nets, and they brought in 100 fish or more than that. And they sorted them out. "Yeah, we'll keep this one. We don't want that one." And the rest they began to throw away. That's the way it's going to be at the end of the age. That's what Jesus is saying. All the nations will be before him. And some will be kept and brought into the kingdom of heaven, and some will be lost and discarded for all eternity. Now, I get uptight when I'm having to preach on something like this. But I want you to know, friend, that it's a part of the Scriptures. And so if we say that we preach the whole Word of God, it means that we also have to bring this forth to our people that they may understand. I decided that before I wrote out this sermon, I would consult some of the main voices of Christendom in three different ages. And so here is a person by the name of J.C. Ryle. He lived from 1816 to 1900. He was an Anglican bishop in Liverpool. My father-in-law used to have a copy of his commentary, and once he told me if the house burned down, he would run for Ryle's commentary. That's how much faith he had in this expositor of the Bible. Well, I'm going to read and make some comments as we go along the way as to what Bishop Ryle says in this particular passage of Scripture. He said that passage that deals with the bringing in of the fish, keeping some and discarding others, was intended to instruct us on the most important subject, which is the true nature of the visible church of Christ. Now, do you understand what the true visible church is? Well, you see the true visible church on a Sunday morning. They are the people who sit beside you in the pews and stand with you in the pulpit. And they are the people who sing in the choirs. That's the visible church. Your eyes can see them. You can shake their hands. You can talk to them. Now, within the visible church, there were to be Christians of various sorts, the unconverted as well as the converted, the false as well as the true. The separation of the two was to come at last, but not before the end of the world. It is important to have this lesson deeply graven on our minds. There is hardly any point in Christianity on which greater mistake exists than the nature of the visible church. There is none, perhaps, on which mistakes are so perilous to the soul. Christians ought to be regarded as mixed bodies. They are all assembled, containing good fish and bad, converted and unconverted, children of God and children of the world, and ought to be described and addressed as such. And then he goes on to say, now remember, he is an Anglican bishop. That is a highly liturgical church. And a part of their worship service, of course, was the baptism of infants. But the bishop says to tell all baptized people that they are born again and have the Spirit and are members of Christ and are holy in the face of such a parable as the one we have just read is utterly unwarrantable. It is painfully calculated to promote self-righteousness and lull sinners to sleep. Finally, Bishop Ryle says, let it be settled with us, never to be satisfied with mere outward church membership. We may be still inside the net and yet not be in Jesus Christ. The water of baptism, says the bishop, are poured on myriads who are never washed in the water of life. Now, he does a lot of talk about the visible and the invisible church. and the next two will say the same. I'm going to use my own illustration, certainly not as good as Bishop Ryle's, but one that I have sometimes given to my confirmation classes, both the children or the youth and the adults. Let us say that there are in this small town three churches. One is 500 in membership. That is, the visible body of Christ in the Methodist Church is 500. But of those 500, 400 are believers. The other 100 are not. Then let's say there is the Presbyterians. They have 600. And of that 600, 450 of those are believers. Then there are Lutherans. They are 450 in number. And 300 of them are believers. Now let's say that somebody is trying to get a picture of your town and they would like to know what the spiritual life is like in that town. You could tell them, well, together with the Presbyterians and the Methodists and the Lutherans, we have 1,550 members in the church. That's the visible church. So that's what the man puts on his paper and goes on his way and he writes his article, and here's a town with 1,550 people in it who belong to the church. Now, if Jesus Christ were audible, he would say, in the Methodist Church are 400 believers. In the Presbyterian Church are 450. In the Lutheran Church there are 300. So the real church, the invisible church, the church where there are people who say, I confess Jesus as my Savior and my Lord, are 1,200 in number. The invisible church is 1,200, and the visible church, 1,550. The point behind this is, we must not give people the mistaken position, that simply because you have joined the church, you are a member of the church as Jesus Christ knows it. That comes only when Jesus Christ lives in your heart and you have a personal relationship with him. Now that is what Bishop Ryle said way back there from 1816 to 1900. Now I would like to take you to William Barclay. William Barclay was a bit more liberal, and while he is a tremendous commentator of the scriptures, I would not agree with William Barclay on everything. He was a professor of Bible and biblical criticism at the University of Glasgow. But once again, he is a bit more liberal than Bishop Ryle. However, this is what he says. The church, that is, the visible church, cannot be selective and discriminative. The earthly church is bound to be a mixture that will contain all kinds of people, good and bad, useless and useful, and that is not ours to judge. It is no man's place to say who is committed to Christ and who is not. The church must be open to all people, and it will be a mixture to the end. And that is exactly what the Bible teaches. Therefore, it is our duty to gather in all who will come, and not to judge and not to separate, but to leave the final judgment to God, who alone can judge. the same thing that the parable said, the same thing that our Lord Jesus taught. And so I feel comfortable in announcing it in this 21st century when these two great authorities of the Scripture said it when they lived. The last one is more modern. He lived when some of us lived. And this is George Buttrick, a very prominent, well-known Presbyterian clergyman who lived in the city of New York and preached there for many years and also in a university town. He could communicate to all kinds. He could communicate to the rich, and he had plenty of them, who came to church in New York City in their limousines with chauffeurs on a Sunday morning. But he could also communicate to the person who hardly had sufficient clothes to get into the sanctuary. He could communicate to the educated, the highest trained people in Columbia University, which was not far from his church, but also with those who had very little formal education. This is what he said. The church, my friend, can't you just see him in that church in New York? The church holds a mixture of people. How can we know who is worthy and who is worthless? We cannot always know at once. They may not be believers in Jesus Christ now, but wait until they're 50 and 60 and 70, and maybe on their deathbed at 80. We can never know sometimes while we're on this earth. His comments were few, but can't you hear him saying to these rich, elite people who had everything, and perhaps most of them thought that money could buy everything? At the end, those who trust Christ, rich, poor, educated, uneducated, shall be judged. And those who could say, I believe that Jesus is my Savior and my Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And those who cannot will be cast aside. Thus says the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, my friend, this is a way that our Lord has told us it would be at the last days. I can do no better than these three great men who dealt with the Scriptures all their lives. And certainly I can do no better than Jesus. And exactly what they said, they received from Jesus. God is a judge. And the big question is, what have we done with Jesus? Are you a member of the church visible? Fine. But the bigger question is, are you a member of the church invisible? One who trusts Christ. Amen.
God is the Lieber, lass mich erlösen. God is the Lieber, liebt auch mich. Drum sag ich noch einmal, God is the Lieber, God is the Lieber, liebt auch mich. Ich lag in Banden der schnellen Sünder, ich lag in Banden und konnt nicht los. Drum sag ich noch einmal, Gott ist dir lieber, Gott ist dir lieber, liebt auch mich. Er sandte Jesum, den treuen Heiland, der
mich noch einmal, Gott ist dir lieber, Gott ist dir lieber, er liebt auch mich. Vor Gott so lang, dass ich selbst das Seher, vor Gott so lang, dass er was mir tut. Lass so an Ende, I'll sing thy praises, God loves his children, loves even me. He bade me welcome, O word of mercy, he bade me welcome, O voice divine. Love so unending, I'll sing thy praises, God loves his children, loves even me.
Father in heaven, we thank you that your word is so honest with us. And while we live with a culture that knows nothing about judgment, and certainly nothing about eternity, we pray that those of us who bear the name of Christ, and who have experienced what it is to let him inside of us, and to have him assure us that he will walk with us while we are here and be with us forever in heaven. O God, grant that we may be so anxious to have others come along with us that we will tell them the whole story. And grant that we may be faithful, even though at times we are criticized and chastised for holding such a teaching. Thank you, Lord, for coming to be our Savior. Thank you that in you we can rejoice. Amen.
You have been worshiping with Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray that the gospel message you have just heard will inspire you to give thanks for God's many blessings in the week ahead. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders depends on the generosity of its listeners to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Please consider, if you are able to do so, a gift to help in this mission. Some listeners have joined our GEM, or Gift Every Month, club. They make a regular monthly gift of any amount. If you would like to become a GEM Club member, please give us a call at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. Gifts may also be directed to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. All gifts are tax deductible. If you would like to receive a CD or a printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You can also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. You can visit us on the web at christiancrusaders.org. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously since 1936.